Book of Matthew, chapter 2. We're going to start from verse 1.
Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem.
Many people who are not Christian, they are trying to say Jesus Christ was never born. But when we read the book of Luke and book of Matthew, we have the proof there was a king named Herod in Jerusalem. And if they can go and trace the king Herod and what happened in his time, they will find out. And here he says, at that particular time, the wise men came from east to Jerusalem. So now we see the wise men coming, and Herod was there, and the birth of Jesus Christ has happened already. So we have proof to tell people that Jesus Christ was born when there was a Herod the king alive. Verse 2.
Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.
Some people are saying these people were kings. Some people are saying they are wise men. Some people are saying these people were very knowledgeable, selected people looking for stars. And they came here to see the king. I don't know how they got the idea, but we have Bible proof. Because these people were looking at the stars and waiting for king to be born. Now, when the children of Israel came from Egypt, and when they came from Egypt, they were camping, and there was a man called Balak. Balak wanted these children of Israel to be cursed. So he hired the man called Balaam. They say Balaam or Balaam. So this man was a prophet. Now many Christian people are thinking this prophet was a godly prophet but backslidden. But he was not a godly prophet. He was not an Israeli person. He was Gentiles. Those people were like a soothsayer or looking at the stars and saying something. He comes. It's a long story, but we are not studying about Balaam. But just in nutshell, I'm saying, Balaam came to curse the children of Israel. God put blessing in his mouth. He goes east, west, north, south, everywhere. But God put the blessing through his mouth. And so he did one prophecy. Go to the Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17.
I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth.
And so he said, there will be a star coming from Jacob, and he will be ruling in Israel, and he will be destroying the enemies. And so this prophecy was done, and maybe so many people were looking for the king to come in Israel. Hundreds of years passed, but when some star appeared, these wise people saw the star, and they thought, this is what that prophecy is all about. So we are going to see the ruler or the king of Israel. And they came to worship the king. And so when they came, I was just thinking, these people are wise. They saw the star. As soon as they come to Jerusalem, star disappeared. Now they don't know where to go. So now they thought at least the star brought them up to Jerusalem. So just have to go and ask somebody, where is the king of Jews is born? A king of the Jews is born. And somebody will tell us. They thought this thing might be very famous. We saw the star. So these people might have seen the star. So they would have gone to the religious people, but they went to the king. And so they went to the king, finding out where is the star. Let's read the verse 3.
When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him.
When the king Herod heard this thing, what he heard? The king of Jew is born. Now this Herod is not a Jewish man. And so he said, who is other king is born in my kingdom? So he got scared. So the word of God says, he was troubled. He knew something is wrong. If you study about this king, he was very bad king. And so we are not studying about him right now. So the bad king, and he killed so many people. So now he is thinking, I'm going to kill that king. And so he wanted to know, is that real? That king is born in this Jerusalem? So we want to find out where this king is born. And the word of God says, when the king was in trouble, he was scared. All Jerusalem got scared with him. Maybe he gave the news to people, or I don't know how the whole Jerusalem knew that there is a king is coming, or king is born, and he's going to take over, and this King Herod's kingdom will be gone, so they don't know what's going on. So all these people got scared. But now the king wanted to know where this king is born. Matthew chapter 2, verse 4.
And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born.
He gathered all the chief priests, all. They are not one or two. And scribes, the priests, they work in the temple. The scribes, they study the scriptures. And other people are Pharisees. So he called the chief priest and the scribes and asked them, tell us where this Christ should be born. And so those people maybe start opening their scrolls and start reading and figuring out. And so they finally found out where the king's supposed to be born. Verse 5.
And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.
Now see, they found out from the book of Micah. Let's go to the book of Micah chapter 5 verse 2. It was not easy in those days to find out, because now we have the Bible, book, chapters, verses. In those days, just the scroll. No chapter, nothing. Just the one book. And there is no chapter, nothing. And so it was not easy. I don't know how many days it took for these people to find out, but finally they found out. Come on, please read.
But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is, to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting.
Now, here the Micah is saying, the ruler who is coming, he is not the ordinary one. He is old, from everlasting. That means he is saying he is God. He is from the beginning. He is the ruler of the whole world. But he is coming as a ruler to Israel. And he is going to be born in Bethlehem. Luke chapter 2 verse 4, please read.
And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David.
Now, the Joseph went to Judea because he was coming from the David's family. And when he went there and the timing was right, that's the time God sent angel, told the shepherds, go and see the Messiah, the Savior is born. At that particular time, the shepherd got the story, went to the Mary and told everything what the angel told them. And then the word of God says they went house to house, telling everybody that Jesus Christ, the Savior, the Messiah is born. But I don't think anybody took very seriously. If they did, then this chief priest and scribe, they would know, hey, that man came and told us, those shepherd, we didn't pay attention. And this prophecy is really fulfilled. They didn't want to go, they didn't want to see, and they just wanted to support the Herod. And so they told the Herod where the king supposed to be coming and everything, and they did not go themselves to check it out. Let's go back to the Matthew, verse 7.
Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was.
Now see, the Herod got the news, sent his people, and what he says, go and search diligently. Find out where the child is, come back to me, send the message to me, then I'll come and worship the king. And I was thinking, if this king was so serious about finding the child and worshiping, he would have sent all these, soldiers, go all around and find the child because I want to go and worship. They would have found out within a day or so. But this was God's doing. God did not want this man to go and find out himself. So the wise men, they went and saw the baby child. Now the word of God says, as soon as they came out of this palace, and now they are saying, these people are saying it is in Bethlehem, but we don't know where is in Bethlehem. They have to go and travel and look around. So the word of God says that the same star appeared. And now they are looking at that star. I don't know if it's a daytime or nighttime. They're looking at that star and they kept on going, going, going. And the star exactly stopped where the Jesus baby was on that, maybe on the top of that house they can see. And so they saw the star stopped right there. And so they were able to find out this is the house. And many Christmas time people are making mistake. You remember they make the manger scene and they put the wise men the same place. They're thinking everything happened in the same day. Didn't happen. The manger scene happened like the birth of Jesus, and the wise men came 2 years later. And so now they're saying this was a young child. He was big enough, and so maybe 2 years old or so. And at that time, they came to see the child, young baby, 2 years old. And I see when they saw some kind of halo, I don't know it was there, but they can see that child's glory. So they could not see, oh, this is not the child, let's go and see somebody else. They recognize this is the star, this is the child, this is the king we were looking for. So they were 100% sure that this is the child. Why? Because they had the gift to give. They cannot give gift to somebody else. So they recognize, and something happened to their spirit. This is the young king. So they start opening their gift. They were, first of all, they were very happy. Let's read the verse 10.
When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh.
I believe when they saw this child, they saw the glory of God. If you read in the St. John chapter 1, verse 14, please read what he says. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
So this is what these people saw. Full of glory, God's power, God's grace in this child. That's why the word of God says they fell on their faces and they worshipped him. Not only they worshipped, on those days, if you go to see the priest or some spiritual leader, they will take the gift, gold or something to give it. And that was like a part of their worship. So here these people bought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, God knew what was going to happen. The gold they bought, most of the time, people give gold to the king. So as a king, they gave him gold. Now, they were, how many wise men? We don't know, but they people are showing three wise men. It can be more. And so when the wise people or the king, they bringing the gold, they will not bring the gold like a 1 ounce or 2 ounce. I think they got the pounds and pounds of gold. So got a lots of gold, and that represent his purity and his holiness as well as his kingdom. He's a king. So they represent gold to him. Frankincense, they use for most of the time to worship. Frankincense represents that he is going to be our God, worship, a spiritual leader. And then the myrrh is a bitter kind of herb. I don't know, it's not a herb. When you put it, it becomes like a glue. But at the same time, it has a preservative. God inspired these people to bring the gold, and so God already gave them gold so they can travel. And I don't know how many years or months they lived in Egypt, so they got a gold, and all other things they might have kept it for the future use. So let's read a little bit further. Matthew chapter 2 verse 12.
And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way.
Now see, these wise men supposed to go to king and tell the king, we saw the baby and you want to worship? Come and we'll show you where the baby is. But God warned them, don't go the same way, go different way. Those days people were God-fearing. Once they see the dream, they will believe it. And they believed it and they went another way. Now just think, if there was not a one man, there were several people, they could say, hey, we don't want to just disobey king. If you disobey king, we'll be get killed. But I believe they all got the same dream. So there is no argument. He didn't say, hey, I didn't see it, you saw it, and there was no confusion. So they saw the dream, everyone got the same dream, don't go this way, go other way. And they obeyed the Lord, and they went other way. Verse 13.
And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.
Up to now, Joseph and Mary didn't have any fear that anything will happen to her child. Because now 2 years pass, almost, child is growing, these people come, and until then, they had no idea that angel told 2 years ago that this is the Son of God, this is the Savior, this is the Messiah. Here, 2 years later, these wise people come and they say, we saw a star and God told us, this is the Savior, this is the King, this is the ruler, so we came to worship. These people would have warned this Mary and Joseph, you people better get out of here because the king wants to see the child, but they had no idea. They were innocent. They thought king really, really wants to see the child. But the Spirit of God revealed them the king is not talking the real thing. Sometimes people come to deceive you. If you are a child of God and if you are the Spirit of God, God will warn you not to deal with these people, stay away from these people, or how to Well, handle those kind of people. God inspires you. And God will not allow the children of God to trap, because He has given us the Spirit. In the Holy Spirit, there is a one gift, discernment. See the person inside out by the Holy Spirit, and you can find out what this person is thinking, what this person is going to do. Things like that God will show you. So He tells the Joseph in a dream, the Herod is going to kill Jesus, so you better go to Egypt. Now the God provided everything, and now He says, now you go. So they didn't have any excuse. And God says, not only that, you stay there until I tell you to come out of Egypt. And so they have to obey. Sometimes it is so difficult for people to obey God exactly. They don't want to obey exactly. They might say, okay, God told me to go, I'll go. But He didn't tell me what to do next. So these people waited until the Lord says, get out of that city and come back to Jerusalem. Let's read a little bit further, verse 14.
When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son.
Now, here it says, God allow him to stay there until the Herod's death. And then God tells him now, this is time, Herod is dead. Now come on. God told them to come. This was going to be fulfilling the prophecy. Now this prophecy is twofold. Israeli people went to Egypt for 430 years. And then God called them out of Egypt. That's time He said, I called my son from Egypt. But then when Jesus went to Egypt and He calls Jesus out of Egypt, then the Matthew said, this prophecy fulfilled about Jesus Christ. Go to the Hosea chapter 11, verse 1.
When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt.
Now see, when you say Israel was a child and I called him from Egypt, then somebody says, that is Israel, is not Jesus. But the Jesus came as the son of David and son of Abraham, so he is also called Israel. So he came out of Egypt, and he says that prophecy is fulfilled. Go back to the Matthew chapter 2, verse 16.
Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men.
Now can you imagine? This man might be waited how long it will take to come back. So these people didn't come back. He got angry, but he had no power to find out where these people came and send the horsemen and find out these people and destroy those wise people. But they disappear. He started thinking, well, the wise men told us the timing, 2 years at least. So let's kill the children from 2 years and younger. And all the children at that particular time, 2 years and younger, were all killed. And they said that also fulfilled the prophecy. Let's read the verse 17.
Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not.
Now, this prophecy they might have heard many, many times. But they didn't know what this prophecy is all about. Because when you say Rachel was crying for her children, if you remember, Rachel gave birth to one son called Joseph. And then the second son was Benjamin. But when she gave the birth to the Benjamin, that time she died in childbirth. And so she did not have strength to cry. And if you go and look at in Genesis chapter 35, verse 16 to 20, you never see this. She was crying for her children, and because she didn't have even strength. But here the prophecy was written. Go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 15.
Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping, Rahel weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children, because they were not.
Now, Rachel didn't have so many children. She had only two children. She never cried for them. But in Old Testament, all these prophecy like a hidden prophecy. And people had to really, really know what this prophecy is all about. So when you say Rachel is wife of Israel, Jacob was the husband, but the Jacob's name became Israel. So now she is the mother of all Israeli people. Whole Israeli people are crying for the children because they could not find them, little children. And when this thing happened, now their eyes will open. Wow, this was the prophecy. When Jesus Christ went to Egypt, this King Herod killed all these children, and this prophecy fulfilled. Still, Jewish people's eyes never opened that this was a Jesus. They saw the prophecy, they heard this, they cried for it, and many children died. I think maybe some of the chief priests and the Pharisees and many other people's children might be dead. And they came to know, hey, Herod told us where that child is born. We gave the prophecy. We told him in Bethlehem. And it happened now. And Jesus Christ was still in Egypt. So let's read verse 19. Matthew chapter 2, verse 19.
But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel. For they are dead which sought the young child's life.
Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, it says, I will bring you the word when the Herod is dead. Now God keeps the record. Sometimes we forget. When God says, now I'll bring the word, and then you start from there. God sends angel again, and then he warns him, now the Herod is dead. You can take the young child and go. But when he comes, he sees the Herod's son is there, so he got still a little bit afraid and didn't know what to do, but God guided him. Let's read verse 21.
And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father Herod, he was afraid to go thither. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee.
Now see what happens. God told him, go back to the land of Israel. The man is dead, but God did not tell him his son is the king. So he might be coming and he says, well, I don't know, I heard it right or not, because his son is a king and God is telling me to go there. Now I don't know what to do. Sometimes it happens. People get confused. But the word of God says, our God is not the God of confusion. He right away said to him, well, if you don't want to go there, turn around and go back to the part of Galilee. And so he might be thinking, thank God. God knew my heart. I was thinking, if I don't go, I'm breaking the God's law. I'm breaking the God's word. But now God is telling me, don't go there. Go to the parts of Galilee. And then he felt good and he came back to Galilee. Verse 23.
And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene.
He came and dwelt in Nazareth. And he says, this might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, that he shall be called Nazarene. The reason why he's not given the prophet's name, that's why it's not recorded. I start thinking, this minister is saying, because it was spoken, it's not recorded. Every prophecy is spoken, and that's why it is recorded. So why this is not recorded, and they looked everywhere? Only answer I can get. The Matthew is a Jewish man. He is the writer. And there are some of the books, old books, history books, and some of the books, when you read in the book of history, they will say, this kind of story is written in another book. So I believe this was written some history book, but when these people gathered this book and put it 66 books, they could not find this book, maybe. That's the only explanation I can give. But I cannot say the prophet gave the prophecy and that prophecy might be fulfilled. That's why he went to Nazareth to be called Nazarene. We trust the Bible because there were hundreds and hundreds of prophecy about Jesus Christ. all the prophecies about Jesus are fulfilled. So this prophecy to be fulfilled because it's done. So you can see the baby child was a pleasant little baby, didn't make any problem to Mary or Joseph. God's son, if he came to the filthiest place on earth, Jesus Christ says, the foxes has the holes, the birds has the nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have place to lay down his head. So it's really true. When he came, he didn't have his own house. When he lived, he didn't have his own house. And so he's trying to give us the message, I am the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, all the silver, all the gold is belong to me, and still I lived in this earth like a stranger. And so why are we so much worried about houses and cars and property and money and wealth and things like that? But the Word of God says, Jesus Christ, he was rich, but he became poor. With his poverty, we can be rich. So we have assurance. When we look at Jesus, he did everything for us. He died on the cross. He took our sin on him, and he died on behalf of us. When he died, he says he took your penalty, and with his stripes, we are healed. In short, what I'm trying to say, our sickness, our disease, our poverty, our salvation, everything is included in Christ's death. Once he died, and when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, everything comes in a package. Healing, salvation, prosperity, and everything what we need is in a package. Because I believed Jesus Christ died for me, and with his stripes, I'm healed. Jesus Christ came into this world to supply all of our needs. How are we going to get it? Everything, we get it by faith. Whatever we need, he will give it to us. What Jesus Christ is saying, O heavy laden, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Once you get the rest, means what? A peace. He is the Prince of Peace. When you have peace about something, then you don't worry, we don't fight, we don't argue, nothing. You got a peace in your heart that settles it. Anything you are asking God and you trouble and something click in your mind, God is going to do it. Then you got peace about this thing. Then you are not going to worry about, you are not going to pray again, you are going to thank God. So our God is a prayer answering God. And what we're learning today, even the far, far country, people were not even thinking about Jesus. God appeared to them in a sign, in a star, and they came searching. I don't know how many miles they came, bringing all these gifts, and they humbled themselves, worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ, obeyed the Lord, and went other way, and did not allow Jesus to be harmed. Sometimes, we are living in a city. We have cars. We have everything. But the Sunday comes, some other things comes in our mind. I want to do this, do that. The boyfriend will call, the girlfriend will call, or the relatives will call, or somebody will say, today we have a final sale or something. So something comes out and people just go, or some important thing comes out. And so you have to see, these people are coming, many obstacles might have come, but they made up their mind. We are going to look at the star and keep on following. And the star disappeared, they went to ask somebody, they didn't tell where the star is, but they kept on thinking God will open the door. And when they came out, they found the star and they reached their destination. So what I'm trying to say, we don't give up. We follow Christ, he will supply our need. We have so many needs, but call upon Jesus and he said, he will answer. So let's pray and ask God to give us the guidance like he gave to this wise man, like he gave to the shepherds, and he guided to the right places. So we have need. We do not know the future, but God knows our future. Let's pray. Father, you have called us with a definite high calling, and you are going to give us the desires of our heart. Your word says, Delight in the Lord, and He will give the desires of your heart. So we give you glory, honor, and praise to your holy name. Be with us, sanctify us, and use us more and more for your glory. Give us grace to follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.